Good morning. In the past 3 weeks, I have shared about knowing God. But today, I'm going to talk about man. But before I do that, let me ask you, let everybody can have a guess. What is this? Because you have one, I suppose. If I don't open the box, it's still a mystery to many. But if I open the box, then you can see the earbud, isn't it? The earbuds has to be connected, of course, to my phone, isn't it? So I can listen to it. So before we know what is this, we want to know, in order to know what is this, we have to know, hey, where did it come from? And what's the purpose of this? If you open it and realize it's gone, the most important part of it has gone, then it becomes no use, isn't it? Then the next problem you think about, what can I do with this empty box? It seems to lose its meaning, isn't it? So what are you going to do about this empty box? You may chuck it in the bin. Or if you can find the earbuds and put it back, then the purpose is restored. It can be used again. It can serve its purpose. Something like this. What is this? You can tell me. But what is man? Who are you? This is the purpose of this, is for serving this. They come together. Man, where does man come from? What is the purpose of man? If man loses something important, what is the good of this man anymore? Shall we chuck this in the bin? What is the purpose of life? Why are you here? What is the purpose? If there's something wrong in our life, what can be done? What would be our future? There are so many important questions relating to us, isn't it? What is man? So today, let's quickly think about some important questions. Where did we come from? What is the purpose of life? If this is the purpose of life, how come? Look at what's around us. How come there are so many problems in life? Why would people find life empty, emptiness in life? Why would some famous singer or movie stars, they take drugs and commit suicide? They are so successful. They are so beautiful. We adore them. We admire them. And yet, they find such great emptiness and they kill themselves. Why? Even they are so successful, they can't find meaning in life. Think about what happens in the people in Gaza. Wars everywhere. They lost their family. They lost their life. They lost their houses. Why? If men are supposed to have a good purpose in life, what happens? How come we experience so much difficulties nowadays? What's wrong? What's wrong with men? And if we can find what's wrong with men, can we fix it? Or can somebody fix our problems? If you are not happy in your life, if you find yourself just going to school every day or studying, bored every day. Why? Why I'm here? What should I do? Where should I go? What would be the end? So there are so many important questions we need to think about. So let's come back to the beginning. Where did we come from? So nowadays, if you go to high school, the teachers, the textbook, even if you go to science museum, they'll tell you we come from Lord Big Bang. Boom, boom. How do they know there's Big Bang? Because they observe some stars and they seem to be moving away. What does it mean? When stars are moving away, that means the universe is expanding. So if the stars are moving away, that means they think. If they all go back into the beginning, so all the stars come back into one great, one small point with all the matters, all the power, and suddenly a big bang, boom, the universe formed. And all the atoms formed. And all these atoms, miraculously, by chance, they stick together and become molecules. And with more, evolution means changes. And all this miraculously, you have to take this by faith, of course. Just like you put your faith in God. If you don't believe in God, you believe anything. Then you may believe. All these atoms miraculously come together and become amino acid. If you know what amino acid is. And it becomes a protein, and it becomes a cell. It becomes all kinds of animals, all kinds of living things. Wow, you have to need great faith. And what does it mean if people are evolved? That means no purpose. You are just an outcome of an explosion. Of course, if you study science, if you know science is observing, making your theory, test your theory by experiments, and using the data gathered, and then you check your theory, is it right or wrong? So everything not checked is a theory. No evidence is just a theory. So Big Bang is a theory, evolution is a theory. But as we observe, all the explosion destroy structure. It won't bring forth structure. So we can know evolution means there is no meaning, no purpose, no design. Because explosion, there's no design, isn't it? That means life cannot have a meaning if we come from evolution or Big Bang. So, but we Christians, God told us this is not true. We know that God created heaven and earth. So we know where we come from. And what does imply? It implies that you are here because God has designed man. And our life has a meaning, and our life has a purpose. When you feel emptiness inside, that means you need to find that meaning. We need to find that purpose. And who can tell us? Only God can tell you. The designer can tell you. What does it mean? So where God told us in Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." What does image refers to? In the past, I shared about image, speaks about something, the internal part, the mind, the feeling, the will. The likeness speaks of the outside, the body, just like eyes, years, hence, is the outward. So does it mean that God has literally has eyes, ears, and hands? No. That means when God can see, observe things outside, He gave us eyes. So like Him, we can observe what happens outside. God can listen, so He created us with ears, so we can listen. God can do things, so when He created us, He gave us hands. So in this way, we are like Him, in this likeness. So the likeness speak of the body we have. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So when God created us, not only give us a body and mind, He wants us to have dominion, a share of His power to manage, to govern. So God created man, not just a creature, but like Him, He gave us authority. Imagine, the birds have to listen to us, the fish have to listen to us. We don't have to be afraid of great white. We don't have to be afraid of the eagles and all these beasts, all the creeping things that creep on the earth. Cockroaches, caterpillars, spiders. We hate spiders. But we should be, when God created us, He gave us authority. We should be governed them. God delegates His authority to man. He trusted us so much, we can have authority. We were created to share His power. We are not robots. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And what's next? What is the purpose of life? Dominion. And God says us to be fruitful. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So He doesn't want one man or one woman. He wants them to have such relationship and that bring forth many lives. Multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God gave them power. God gave them life. And God asked them to have dominion and be fruitful. So this is the original purpose of the purpose of life for man. God gave us. But is that it? Does God need us to help Him to govern the earth? Does God need us to a worker to help Him? Even we can design machine, computer to help us to do things. Multiply. We can just multiply like the flowers, spreading the seeds everywhere. God can, we don't have to. Everything can be automatic. Why God gave us such responsibility? God doesn't need a manager. God doesn't need a governor to help Him. But why does God need a worker to help Him? God has so many angels to help Him. We are redundant in a way because angels serve Him much better than we do. We are so lazy. We are slow comparing to angels. Angels can fly. So what is so special about man? God doesn't need a gardener. Tend and keep. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Does God need a gardener? Man can design machine to clean the floor. Man can design machine to cut the grass. Why still God want man to tend and keep it for Him? Does God need a gardener? No. So why did he create man in the first place? So just like we can see the outward case of it, of this. But what is inside the thing that God wants? Outwardly, help me to tend the garden, have dominion over the garden. This is the outside. But what God truly wants inside us is the inside. What does God want inside you? Angels can serve him better. He can send you to do this. He can send anything to do that for him. So what is the real thing that God wants in man? In Matthew, some people come before the Lord and ask him, what is the greatest commandment? Then Jesus asked him, love the Lord your God, whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, whole strength. Love God. And similarly, love your fellow neighbors. So what is the greatest commandment? What does God want in man? What is the inside thing God wants? This is you. But what is inside you that God wants? It's love. So the tending of the garden is not God doesn't need your help. But you are doing this to show your love to him. You see what I mean? Why does God put you in the school to study? Why do we have to be faithful in our duty? It's not to do a good work, not to do a good job, so people praise you, so you can earn more money. No. God put us here on earth to serve him out of love. So what God truly wants is love. Connect us to him. Just like this, connect to this. God wants love from men. He created men. So this is what God wants. So the purpose of life is what God wants in you is that you love him. That's why you come to the meeting. God wants you to love him. That's why you come to read the Bible. You want to know more about him. To serve him out of love. To honor him. To seek him. To know him. This is the purpose of life. He is the center of the universe. Jesus Christ. When God created the whole universe, everything is for him, about him, by him. So I dare say you are created for Jesus Christ. And not just your work for him, but your heart. Love him. This is the purpose. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Then we'll say, if this is the greatest commandment, everything should be fine. But how come there are so many problems in life? Warfare, people hate one another, violence, drug problem, drinking problem, sexual sin, all kinds of evil things happen around us. All this fulfillment in life, all this sadness, disappointment in life. Is this the original life God planned for man? No. So we ask, how come God's purpose is like this? We love him, we share his power, we enjoyed him. But suddenly we found ourselves down there. Men are struggling. Hating one another, killing one another. What happened? We are supposed to be here. How come we have come down to here?
How come we are living in a life like this? What happened?
So in Genesis chapter 3, it tells us the fall of man. And it says in here, the serpent. We know the serpent was represents Satan. He was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So the fruit in the midst of the garden refers to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So if we look at what we missed, God told them not to eat from that forbidden tree. Why? Why would God set a trap there? It's not a trap. Men, how can men show their obedience to God? How can men show their love to God? It's by rejecting that tree. So that's the only no for man. And by God, how can Adam and Eve show their love to God? By rejecting the temptation from that tree. Mm-hmm. So this is not just a test of obedience. It's a test of, do they love God more? Now, then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of the eyes of your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, "Nah, God is not true. He doesn't want you to eat it. God is selfish. God doesn't want you to be smart. God wants you to listen to him. Otherwise you will be like God. God is selfish. You have to think for yourself. Do something for yourself. You should love yourself in another way." God created them to love God. They say, "No, I should think for myself." Now, this is the beginning of sin. When man, instead of focusing on trusting him, knowing him, please him, suddenly, "Hey, he's no good to me. Maybe I should think for myself. I should be wise. I can be like God." This is the temptation. Switching man from God. Turning, so man turned for himself. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, for her pleasure, to enjoy for herself, she was no longer thinking about God. Is God good to her or not? But I can enjoy it. I. So sin comes into their life. People say it like that. Sin, S-I-N. The I is in the middle. Crime, C-R-I-M-E. I in the middle. Or the sin, crime, guilt, G-U-I-L-T. I in the middle. Iniquities, transgressions. Okay, iniquities, I. So many I's. So when I speaks of your selfishness, speaks of our I put I on the throne. God is not on the throne. God is not the center in the universe. God is not the center in my life. I am the most important being. I live for myself. This is sin. Pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, to make me wise. She took the fruit and ate. So this is sin. So what happens is, man should be here. If he love God, focus on God, serve God, please God, enjoy a fulfilled life. But man, when man started to put himself on the throne, instead of going upward, he dropped down. I. He became a sinner. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. They felt ashamed. Shame, what is shame? Shame when you put yourself on the throne. You find yourself shortcoming. I am naked. I am no good. I felt the shame.
So what did they do? They tried to cover their body and make themselves coverings.
I dare not let you know who I am. I use my success. I use beautiful clothes to cover my emptiness, my nakedness.
Sometimes people put on a lot of makeup,
try to look good.
When we are getting old,
we can't accept we are getting uglier.
So we try to present ourselves so people look good too. We think we look good. We put on expensive clothes. Look at the house I have. Look at the cars I drive. So people look at the covering outside and think you are good. But deep inside us, what is the reality?
The beauty is not on the outside. The beauty is your relationship with God. What is this? The beauty is not, it's decorated with gold. The purpose of this is to relate with my phone. We try to relate with everything else without relating to God. Without relating to God, this becomes useless, purposeless. Without love, take the love out. Take God outside our life. This is no use, and chuck in the bin. Man losing God, our life becomes great emptiness inside. So, what about you? What is your life? Can you tell me what is the purpose of your life? Is your life centered with God? I study, God help me. I have my own dreams. God is my servant, fulfilling my dreams. I go my way. God is my servant, helping me to achieve what I want. Is God your servant? Or you turn around, God, I'm serving you. What is your will? What is your purpose? Let me serve you, not you serve me. If you want God to serve you, you are on the throne. Isn't it? Still emptiness. So why are there so many problems in life? When we read there just now, the passage we were told. Now the Bible explained to us plainly. All have sinned because we all put I on the throne and fall short of the glory of God. Our whole life is not to glorify God. We can do good things, but for people to recognize me, we may work very hard to become number one at school, but for your own glory. You are no longer studying to glorify God. You achieve a lot, you do great work, people say you are a good man. Still, you are achieving this to glorify yourself. It's not for the glory of God. Then you go the wrong way. Brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of your life? Make it simple. What are you living for? For fun? For money? Success? What are you living for? What are you dying for? You are willing to sacrifice everything for that. You will be happy if you find something that is so important. You are doing everything for that purpose. If you don't have such purpose in your life, you can go along everywhere. If you don't worship God, you worship anything. If you don't put your faith in God, you believe everything. Even nonsense, you will believe. If you are not pursuing God, you pursue a lot of things. And in the end, you still find great emptiness in your life. in our life.
So what can be done? Man should be like this, living for God. But yet, man make the wrong decision. We drop, instead of achieving higher, we fall, become sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what can we do about this? What can be done? How can we go back up there? We can't. But because God loves us, He wants to relate to us by love. So He is thinking for you and me. So Adam made the choice as if for us. So we are now away from God. But don't blame Him. You can make your own choice to come back to Him. He has shown His love to us by calling us back to Him through Jesus Christ. So we sin, but now being justified freely by His grace, we don't deserve it. We have rejected Him in the past. Our whole life have gone astray. But through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, God restored a way that we can go back to Him, go back to His purpose. So our life can be restored and meaningful. Just now I said, if I lose this, it's become meaningless. This thing become meaningless. If can't be restored, chuck it in the bin. We don't know how to restore our life, but God restored our life so we can fulfill our life. He put Christ, those who are willing to accept, open yourself, and He accept Christ. Christ come into our life. Our life is restored. His purpose in our life restored. We can once again living for Him. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified. Justified means now you are okay. Righteous. In the past, no, wrong. Now justified. Now you are okay. Past, you're okay, justified. Freely, by His grace through Jesus Christ. So what is your state now? Are you justified? Would God say, you are now okay? What is the purpose of your life, my friend? What are you living for? What are you dying for? What is the center of your life? Has your life been restored? Think about this. Where are we going? If your life is not restored, or if your life is restored, there's a great different outcome. For God so loved the world. For God loves you, my friend. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We can believe in Him. His whole life, His miracles, His prophecy, His dying on the cross, His resurrection has shown us that He is real. Evidence of His love. We can believe in Him. Want to believe in Him. I reject this. I want to go my own way. Well, your choice. Believe in Him should not perish. But if you rejected Him, you don't want to go to enjoy abundant life with Him. You choose your own way. Perish. He warned us. Not threatening, but warning. Or we can have eternal life, everlasting life before us. For those who are already a Christian, congratulate, we have everlasting life. But don't stop there. Even my PowerPoint stops here. But let me read a passage from 2 Peter. From 2 Peter, chapter 1, it says something like this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and virtue. Now that means God given us new life. Once we have this new life, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. We have to add. That means our life should grow. So I hope you have not stopped after you are being baptized. Because God doesn't want a seed. God wants the seed to grow, bear fruits. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do this, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So this is the heart of God. Out of love, he has given us new life. Just like a farmer sow the seed. He doesn't want the seed to remain one seed. He wants the seed to grow and bear fruits. He wants your life to be abundant, just like him. So this is the heart of God. This is the purpose of restoring our life so that we can bear fruit. We can have abundant, everlasting life. How good it is. Any questions? Let us bow down and have a prayer before him. Father, we thank you. Even though man has sinned and fall short of the glory of God, even though so often we go our own way, but because of your great love, you came and restored us. You brought us back. You have given us back the purpose of life, is to know you, to love you, and to serve you. We pray that your Holy Spirit continue to teach us, help us to grow in you, help us to glorify you in our life. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.